This is The Record on KUOW. We've got some breaking news. You might recall at the beginning of this legislative session, Republicans in the Senate passed a rule requiring a two-thirds vote to bring new taxes to the Senate floor. Well, Democratic Lieutenant Governor Brad Owen has tossed that rule. Our Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joins us. Austin, thanks for taking the time.
It's good to be here, Ross.
So Brad Owen can dictate the rules of the state Senate?
He can dictate the rules, and he is interpreting what he says is the Constitution. And so he's saying, basically, the Senate may adopt an unconstitutional rule, but as the presiding officer of the state Senate, he will not enforce it. And so this came up in the context of a pending vote, we think, on a gas tax increase, but it very much relates to, for instance, the governor's proposed new capital gains tax. If that were to come forward, it could now be brought to the floor of the state Senate with a simple majority vote, not that two-thirds threshold.
Are Republicans going to fight Brad Owen on this?
Well, he's in charge. He is the lieutenant governor, and under the Constitution, he is the presiding officer. I think that it's fair to say this may and will come up again. And any member of the chamber can ask for a ruling or a revised ruling or updated ruling. They can ask him again. But he was very clear today that he's not going to be enforcing that two-thirds rule. So unless they, you know, want to impeach him, I think he's running the show right now.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. This is pertinent to a lot of stuff before the legislature, including this transportation package. There's been years of delay on this. Republicans have opposed it in the past. This time they're stepping up with a plan, but it's far from a slam dunk. Austin, what are the key elements of the Republican plan?
Well, this is about a $15 billion plan that would be phased in over 16 years, and it includes funding for mega projects like completing the 520 bridge. It also includes money for maintenance and preservation of the existing roads and bridges we have. We have a lot of bridges in declining state of repair, and there really hasn't been money in the pot, if you will, for just maintaining what we're already building. There's money for transit in there. There's a provision to allow Sound Transit to go to voters to ask for the next big down payment on expansion of Sound Transit. So a lot of pieces, but this is very much in play with the end game far off, or maybe we should say, you know, dim in the future. We just don't know yet how this is going to play out.
Well, it's a Republican package, but are all the Republicans unified behind this transportation plan?
And that could become a very key question, really, even in the hours to come today, because in theory, this is supposed to be a bipartisan effort. And in fact, some Democrats came forward when this was rolled out and joined with the Republican leadership and said they could support this. But there is what critics have called a poison pill provision in the gas tax increase. And I should mention this is an 11.7-cent gas tax increase phased in over 3 years. There is a provision in there that basically says if the governor's low carbon fuel standard gets implemented, then money that goes into multimodal or alternative transportation gets put back into road building. Democrats really don't like that. So that may cost this package some Democratic votes, but we also know there are Republicans who don't want to vote for a big gas tax increase. So the Republicans may have to stand together on this, or they may have to jettison this quote-unquote poison pill. We really don't know. There's so much in play right now, and that's why we're not here seeing the bill heard on the floor as we speak.
Stay with us, Austin. Let's bring into the conversation Democratic Representative Jessen Farrell. She is vice chair of the House Transportation Committee, and she represents North Seattle. Jessen Farrell, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been saying there's something missing from the current debate on transportation. What is it?
Well, before we get into the specifics, I'd like to just, of course, point out that this is very much in the midst of a legislative process. So if and when the Senate is able to get a package over to us, then we get to have the opportunity to put our stamp on it. And so that thing that is really missing, of course, is, you know, how are we creating a transportation system that is sustainable for the 21st century? And if you look at the policy proposals that are in the Republican package right now, we are really taking major steps backward on the environment. And I think that most of us would agree that, yeah, we want transportation infrastructure investments, but not at the cost of our clean air and clean water and ability to limit carbon pollution.
What's your read on the politics of this? Can you get those elements that you just like taken out and still pass a transportation package, which has been a no-go now for several sessions?
Well, I think, again, it is really important that we do act this year, but there is certainly a price that could be too high. You know, if we're trying to completely roll back, or maybe not completely, but make significant rollbacks, that's important. On the other hand, as Austin just explained, a package will likely have to be bipartisan to even get out of the Senate. And so the question is, given that there are a lot of Democrats who are balking at a package that takes significant steps back on the environment, are the Republicans willing to negotiate? And I think if all parties are coming to the table with a mindset of negotiation, we'll get a package. If, on the other hand, it's looked at as this is a gotcha and we're just putting a package out, you know, just so that we can say we did, then that's going to be a problem. But if there's a good faith negotiation, I think we'll get a product at the end of the day.
Representative Farrell, give me a few specifics on what you need to see in the transportation package that is not in there now.
Okay. Well, number one, one of the things that we're considering is giving Sound Transit authorization to be able to put together a ballot measure for the voters. And so we need to make sure that there is the right kinds of taxing authority so that we can get investments across our three-county region. That's really important. Another piece is we need to make sure that we have significant investments in walking, biking, transit. And right now on the Senate side, that's tied into the ability to limit carbon pollution. I think that most people would say, hey, don't hold up my mobility options for some ideological talking point on carbon. So that's really important. And then finally, I think we also need to make sure that we keep in place our shoreline and our clean water protections. And if we can see a lot of those pieces, then I think we're going to get to yes.
The transportation package does include a tax. What's your read on the politics of this, particularly the news today that the two-thirds rule to bring new taxes to the Senate floor has been tossed out by the lieutenant governor? How does that affect this debate?
Well, I applaud the lieutenant governor. The problem with the two-thirds rule, of course, is that's rule of the minority. That really turns on its head our basic democratic principles. So the good news is I think it allows us to potentially move forward on a transportation package. But, of course, the broad context is, are we going to be able to move forward on our McCleary obligations? We are in contempt of court right now. So while I am hoping we get to yes on transportation, we have to get to yes on how we're going to fund our public schools.
Representative Jessen Farrell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
She's vice chair of the House Transportation Committee. Let's bring Austin Jenkins back into the conversation. Austin, does Jessen Farrell represent most Democrats' thinking on the transportation package that has to include more for transit?
I do think that you're going to see a push for that from Democrats, a bigger piece of sort of the multimodal. And as she notes, it's going to be a matter of negotiations. What's going to happen right now is, first, the Senate has to move its package, and how and when that happens remains to be seen. And then this whole issue is going to basically go on hold because the House Democratic leadership has indicated it doesn't want to deal with the transportation package until it's first dealt with the main operating budget and funding for schools. And so we're going to see this kind of get pushed, I think, to the end or the last quarter of the session. And then that's when that heavy-duty negotiating happens. It's when the wheels can fall off the bus or when things can really gel and come together.
Yeah, a good question there. Does putting more pressure on it, putting it at the end of the line after they deal with education, that might rule out some options, might it not, for what the transportation package can look at, depending on how funding for education goes?
Well, in my experience, what happens is the most controversial things that they can't agree on tend to fall off the table, rather than they find some compromise. It's just, okay, we can't agree on that. We'll shove it off the table and move on to the things we can. And so in that sense, some of the stuff that Democrats are howling about right now may not be part of a final package anyway. I will note that Republicans are saying that this quote-unquote poison pill that the critics are calling a poison pill is really a consumer protection measure having to do with the potential for a low-carbon fuel standard to raise the price of a gallon of gas. But, you know, again, this is sort of Republicans saying, here's what we need in a package. We're going to see what the Democrats say, and then they're going to have to figure it out. And I think that those negotiations, like they have been in the past, Ross, are going to be fraught.
Does Democratic Lieutenant Governor Brad Owens' ruling tossing out this two-thirds vote to bring new taxes to the Senate floor, what does that do to Republicans' dedication to finding a transportation package? Does it lower their interest in it?
I think that they deferred action on that gas tax package, and I think that they probably are going to have to retrench a little bit. I don't see it necessarily a direct correlation. And by the way, the bonds in order to fund these transportation packages already require 60 votes in the House, or not a supermajority, but more than a majority. So that already exists in the Constitution. They're going to need to muster a bipartisan vote on this stuff no matter what. I will note that Jason Mercier at the Washington Policy Center says there is an ability for the chamber to challenge, you were asking this question earlier, challenge Brad Owen's rulings. And there may be a mechanism where they can, in fact, overrule him with a majority vote of the senators. But then they risk the situation of, you know, if it's still unconstitutional, is that the road they want to go down? And that we're going to have to wait to see how the Senate majority handles the ruling today. We're going to have to wait to see how the ruling affects the gas tax piece. And then longer term, you know, what is the end game? And there's so many moving pieces right now, and it's still really early.
Well, that's to come. The Senate, with a simple majority, might be able to put back in place a supermajority. I'm bringing new taxes to the floor. We'll have to follow that closely. Austin Jenkins, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ross.
Austin Jenkins, our Olympia correspondent, he joins us to explain and demystify what's happening in the state legislature. You also heard from Democratic Representative Jessen Farrell. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.